Hi, I'm Stephanie from AppRiver. Microsoft 365 includes the productivity of Office 365, as well as an enhanced Windows 10 subscription. But the real Microsoft 365 strength is in the security and management advantages that it brings to business. Microsoft 365 focuses on security by protecting company data and keeping employees secure and productive, regardless of the device or access point. So whether your users are using their workstation, personal smartphone, tablet, or even their home computer, the security follows the login and not the device. Microsoft is truly moving identity management from the device to the cloud. By simplifying the management of company assets, logins, and deployments, Microsoft 365 is making IT professionals look good. With a consolidated interface and simplified online tools to configure countless aspects of business management, Microsoft 365 includes many configuration and security advantages that you probably haven't even considered yet. Worried about the complexity? Don't be. With AppRiver, we've got the Office experts who know how to make Microsoft 365 seamless. In fact, we've been supporting Office 365 with 24/7 phenomenal care support since it was first introduced. So if you're considering Microsoft 365, make the easy choice and get started today with AppRiver. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I am coming at you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, we have had a plethora of shows being released in the last couple of weeks, and we have one more great show planned for you tonight. And I am joined once again by my buddy old pal, Mr. Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you?
Doing well. Today, how about you?
I guess I am still doing Comcastic. Still no outages, so.
Oh, the calendar is.
We are rolling right along.
Days since last issue was getting up there.
Yeah, I mean, if I could have other stuff going well, so we had a bathroom flood here at the office, so that was fun, and we had an air conditioning outage at the house. So it has been a fun week.
Sure does sound like it.
Yep. So that was fun. The bathroom issue happened. Somehow I was in my office. I had come in and the wife doesn't usually come down for, an hour later or whatever. So I'm on the phone chatting away in my office. She walks in and all I can hear is her going, "Marvin! What happened?"
Uh-oh.
And of course, I can't really answer her. One, because I'm on the phone. And two, because I really did not know what happened.
This is a very generic question.
Yes. And so I get up, I have my headset on, and I walk around my desk out to the door, and I can see her looking at the floor, and there is water on the floor that has come out of the bathroom, down the hall, and has started to make its way into our tech room. So luckily we had no boxes on the floor, so there was no real damage or anything, but turns out there was a blockage in the main line that was affecting both sides of the building. We have one side of the building and our landlord, which is a photography studio, has the other side. And funny enough, the landlord had come in the day before, mopped up water, and just assumed it was from someplace else.
Yeah, problem fixed.
Yes. So that was a joy. So that was half of my day was, mopping up water.
I guess you could have been mopping up something worse.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sure we didn't want to start the show off with that, but we did. And I'm not going to go back and edit it out. So, anyway, let me do a couple of quick housekeeping things. I kind of let some stuff get through. I wanted to make mention of a couple of emails we got some time back. I had originally mentioned an email from Roman, who had talked about not being able to get the show in his podcatcher, which was a app called GPodder. And then a second person, Matthias, also had the same issue. Turns out it was the same app. And of course, that was right around the time that the GDPR or whatever those security things were. And of course, the funny thought was maybe we started blocking things from outside of the US. Turns out it wasn't that, just a little issue with the app that has been fixed. And if anybody else was having similar issues using the app GPodder, you're good to go. So just wanted to get that out there and acknowledge the emails that I got from both Roman and Matthias. And I hope I'm saying Matthias right.
Well, you're saying Matthias right. I don't know if you're saying his name right.
Let's see. What other emails have we got? Couple of Twitter things, Mail Assure things, which I've addressed in a show that will be published here. Well, by the time you hear this, it will have already been published, so I will skip the Mail Assure emails. And let's see. You know what? That looks like it for emails. The rest are things we have either already discussed or not relevant to the show. So, okay, housekeeping done. Mr. Rainey, what's up with you?
I have a question, two questions for you. What do you use for your podcast app on your phone or device?
So I'm lazy, and I just use whatever came with the iPhone, which is just called
Apple Podcast app.
Yeah, just the podcast.
Okay.
What do you use?
I use Downcast.
Downcast. Oh, I don't think I've even heard of that one.
Yeah, it's nice. I think it was like $3 or something, but
oh, you paid for it.
I did pay for it.
That's right. Got Matt Rainey money.
Yeah, fire things in life. I think it was $2.99. It's worth it though.
That's premium there. So the question is, why do you ask? Because of the email I read earlier?
Yeah, just because of the email. I never heard of the podcast app that they were using.
Yeah, these guys were, I mean, they're from over the pond, so I didn't ask specifically where from, but it's not a U.S. app, I don't think.
Now, my second question is a little bit off topic, but I mentioned some Star Wars things last time. Maybe I didn't, depending on how the edit goes.
Oh, no, you did.
Okay, I did. Okay, so I have a quick question for you. Amidala, right? Luke and Leia's mother gives birth to Luke and Leia.
Oh,
right.
Oh, if you say so.
Okay, so you probably haven't seen Episode 3, but Luke and Leia are born, okay. And Yoda says they must be sent off to be kept safe. They must be split up to be kept safe, right? So Luke goes with his aunt and uncle. Something Lars is her last name.
Okay. I hope that's not the question because I don't have the answer to that.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to get the name because it's important. Owen Lars.
Okay.
So Luke goes off to live with Owen Lars and his wife. Last name is Lars. Okay. Leia goes and grows up with forget the name too, but she's now what? Princess Leia, right?
Sure.
That's what she's called, right?
Yep.
Okay. But her last name, what is her last name?
I have no idea.
You don't have any idea.
Listen, Okay,
I'll tell you.
Thank
her last
you,
name is
please.
Organa. Leia Organa.
Okay? Organa?
Organa. Yeah. Organa.
Okay.
Okay. So. And they were split off because that was going to keep them safe, right? Hidden from the Empire.
Okay.
Here's my question. If you're hiding from the Empire, obviously Leia took the last name of Organa because that was her quote-unquote parents that raised her.
Right.
Why is Luke's name still Luke Skywalker and not Luke Lars?
because it sounded too much like a porn name. I don't know.
If you're trying to hide from the Empire, why would you keep the same last name? It should be Luke Lars. It shouldn't be Luke Skywalker. If you go into a witness protection program, you don't keep your name and just move somewhere else.
Listen, I know you wish you were talking to Brad Torrey or somebody that was, you know, up to speed on the Star Wars, you know, historical knowledge. I can't even keep the movie straight. So what makes you think I'm going to keep names straight?
Okay. So even if you can't keep it straight, does it make sense he would keep his name?
Okay. If we're just talking philosophical, logical, no, makes no sense.
Makes no sense. I mean, I can see.
But here's the funny thing. So they did the stories out of order, right? 4, 5, and 6. When do you find out that they actually were sent off to live separate? Did you know that?
Technically, you find out when Luke realizes that Leia is her sister, and Obi-Wan from beyond tells him, "Yes, you were separated." You know.
Okay, and is that in The Empire Strikes Back? Well, which one is number 5?
Empire Strikes Back.
Which is that number 5? The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that's number 5. But okay. It may actually be Return of the Jedi. I get those two mixed up. But no, I think that was Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, and then Empire Strikes Back was 6. Because that's
Empire Strikes Back was 5. Return of the Jedi was 6. I think Luke technically confirms that Leia's her sister and Anakin, Darth Vader is confirmed in Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then. So that came out, what, 20 years ago? And you're just now asking that question?
I've never heard anyone ask that question before. I was watching it the other day, it was on TV. I was like, wait, why is his name Luke Skywalker? I mean, she's Leia Organa. Why is she not Leia Skywalker? Or he's Luke Lars? It doesn't make any sense that he's still Luke Skywalker. We're going to hide you, but you can keep your name.
So I'm typing into the Google. Why didn't Luke Skywalker change its name? And it's already in there as if somebody did ask.
Okay, we're good.
And here we go.
I'm glad someone else thought of that.
Back in January of 2012, if Obi-Wan and Yoda were trying to keep Luke safe from Vader, why would they let him keep the Skywalker name?
That's my question as well. So yes, I'm glad someone else.
So I'm gonna make a note of this to put the link in the show note. Because I'm not going to read it right now.
And I'm reading the article that says, in fact, this worked very well, as Luke remained hidden from Vader and the Emperor until his protector decided to reveal him. Well, if that's the case, you might as well not even split him up and they wouldn't have been discovered. Right?
Well, yeah. But you know what, though? I'm sure there was a reason, because you would not have had all that sexual tension.
Well, and Luke Skywalker sounds cooler than I'm Luke Lars.
Right. Okay.
That's enough for stuff.
You good?
That's enough. I'm good.
Okay. I will watch some of those movies someday. I just got caught up on the series Taken. So that's where we are in the B family. Mm. So that's the DVR recording right now. So we just got caught up this past week.
So a few tech stories.
Right.
This has been a week of clients either thinking they know better than me, or just clients who don't want to spend any money, like any money.
Yes. So got a few of those.
So somebody brings in a computer, their symptoms was it's really slow, it locks up constantly. I need you to take a look at it. So they bring it in. First thing I see is it's almost 10 years old. Okay, right there I'm thinking, this is not worth spending any time on. Then first thing I do on these computers, I run hardware diagnostics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to waste time. Hard drive is failing.
Boom.
So call them back. I said, look, it's 10 years old. Hard drive is failing. It's not worth putting any money into it. This particular client, I'm not going to order a computer for. They can go buy one locally and bring it to me. So I say, the best thing is go buy one locally, bring it to me, I'll transfer your data. Oh, well, how much is that going to cost? I said, how much is what going to cost? The computer or my labor? She says, well, both. And I hate when people ask me, how much does a computer cost? Right. It's like saying, how much does a house cost? Or how much does a car cost? And I say, well, here's what the specs I recommend. You can get that or better. And I said, you're not gonna spend with these specs less than $800. Okay. Maybe you can get something for $800. You're probably gonna spend a little bit more for the specs. And I said, then you gotta think of Microsoft Office. Are you gonna subscribe to it? Are you gonna buy it? You know, because all your data is Word and Excel files. She goes, okay, so she bought a computer, brought it to me. How much is it gonna be to transfer the data? Because Office Depot said they'd only charge me $49.
Go Office Depot.
Yeah. I said, well, if your main priority is cost, I can't beat that cost. So, I mean, you're welcome to come pick up your computer and bring it there. I don't have any problem with that. And one reason I don't have any problem with that is because this client called me like once every 3 years. Okay. And I don't care really if I lose that ticket. I said, whatever you feel comfortable with, because I'm not going to compete on cost. What I can tell you is I'm going to prep your computer, get rid of the junk that came on it, run all the updates, firmware, install all the updates. Then I'm going to copy your data. I said, realistically, I'm going to charge you probably 2 hours of labor for that. I said, and I'll also include a diagnostic of your other computer in that 2 hours. So she thought about it. Okay, well, I'll let you do it. Oh, thanks. I mean, she really was thinking I'm just going to bring it over there. I'm like, well, I can do it right now. And I said, did you find out what Office Depot can do it? Because, again, it's up to you. I didn't try and sell her too hard. In the end, she let me do it. Thank you.
You've been so good to me over the years. I trust you.
The three tickets I've done for her. So... the next person, they let somebody in their computer, paid, you know, call them from the number.
Oh, joy.
Now, okay, if you get a pop-up on your computer, a lot of these pop-ups say something about porn being detected, right? I've seen it.
It's either porn detected or your computer has a virus.
Right.
Please do not shut down.
So let's say you're looking at, I don't know, yahoo.com's website. I'm not saying, I don't know what site he was on. And you get a pop-up saying, we detected child porn on your computer. I know I'm not looking at child porn. Would you think you're looking at child porn? I'm not sure who falls for this and calls the number that, oh, I have child porn on my computer.
But apparently a lot of people do.
Well, this person called the number. Either. Maybe he did have porn on his computer and he's thinking, oh, they found me and maybe it was child porn. I don't know, but they called the number, let them in, put on the credit card. I'm not sure how much money, a few $100.
Oh.
And, so at some point he realizes it's not real. Maybe after a few hours with them on his computer. Oh no, they tried to charge him either twice or three times. And he got alerts on his, because I guess he gets alerts on his phone. He got alerted that they kept charging him over and over again. So then he realized, hey, this might not be right.
Right.
So he shuts it off, brings it over to our office. And I had to explain to him that those are scammers. They now have your credit card information. Any information you had on your computer is now, you should consider, you know, compromised. So... all he says is, look, I'm going to get a new computer. I just want you to transfer this certain subset of data. But I don't want to spend more than $100. I said, okay. Okay, you pay those people three times that. Right? I mean, but now your data is worth less than a third of what you charge a scammer. You were okay with? I said, look, here's the thing. In order for me to do it right, I need to make sure your computer is clean. So I don't want to transfer data that could be infected to a thumb drive. Then you plug in that thumb drive somewhere else and it affects another computer. I said, that's going to take more than $100. So what do you want me to do? He says, well, I don't want to spend $100. It's okay. I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. I'll give you the $100 version. I will copy it to the thumb drive. My thought was I was going to boot it up to a Linux CD and just copy it to the thumb drive. Okay. I didn't boot in the Windows. I said, look, I'll give you the $100 version. I'll get the files off in a way that I can't guarantee that they're clean. He said, that's good enough.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not sure what good that does, but whatever. So I'm looking through the files and I see some files on the desktop called SSN card and DL, driver's license, social security card scan on his desktop. I had to tell him, you know that those scammers have this now. You know they pull these files. I said, they do scans for file names, and that's just the kind of stuff they're looking for. So you need to watch out for identity theft in addition to your credit card being stolen. They have your credit card number, your driver's license number, your social security number. They've got everything. But, you know, the important thing was I get his files for $100 or less, so I did it.
Wow, I don't know if I would have done that.
And okay, I did it because it was a friend of a friend. And I told the friend, you're responsible for this. I'm doing this, and I'm telling him I'm doing this, but he don't let him come back to me. If he has a problem, he can go to you. I said, I'll do it because it's a friend of a friend, because you're asking me to. Not because he's asking me to, because you're asking me to.
Right.
But this is as much as I can do, is the $100 version. I said, you don't go to Ruth Chris and say, I went to Filet Mignon, but I only have $6. I'm sorry, and they're not going to cut off a little piece for you and give it to you. He's like, I'm even doing this.
Right. Which, though, in the IT world, that's how people view us. They view us basically on a level less than service repair techs, auto mechanics, you know, because they don't go into those places trying to negotiate or telling them what they're going to pay for. So here's a question. You know what? Let me wait. Did you finish the story before I asked the question?
Yeah, I almost said, look, did you negotiate with this camera how much you're going to pay him? I mean, he wanted this much. Did you say, I'll give you this much instead? Or did you just pay what they asked? Oh, well, you know. That's okay. But I'm not going to go over all of them, but I had a few cases this week of people like that.
Right.
I know they feel like they've already paid money, which is, you know, not my fault that they paid somebody else. I still have to charge what I charge. The people who just don't want to pay money. I probably had 5 or 6 of those this week alone so far.
So the question I was going to ask you is, do you make your customers sign any form of agreement?
No.
Okay.
And that's mainly because, I'll tell you, because most of the clients we've been doing work for, a long time, but and these referrals that we get are referrals from a long-term client or somebody we know. We don't, sometimes people walking off the street without a referral, and we just tell them we can't help them.
Okay.
We say, look, we don't do that kind of work. We do work for this subset, but we don't do work for just anybody. And then we say, look, I'm just going to refer you to somewhere else. Right. And just go over there.
All right. Yeah. That's how we get out of a lot of stuff. I mean, now that I'm in this office, we still haven't had any walk-in traffic because this is not, it's not a pedestrian type street where people are going to be, you know, shopping at local stores and just happen to walk by. You have to know that we're here in order to find us. So yeah. Luckily we don't have walk-in traffic. Plus if they did try to come in, our door's locked. So.
And then we have an armed guard. Yeah. No one would know. We're not in any kind of walk. There's no sidewalks. You wouldn't know what we were. We have no sign. We have nothing that would indicate what we do. So you have to know where you're going to get to our office.
I got a sign in my office. I'll have to show it to you later, but
we don't have anything.
After 21 years, I have signs.
Have is lots of security cameras all over the building. That's all we have.
Well, the reason I asked you about the agreement is because I have been working for the last, I guess it's probably about a month, maybe longer, where the attorney, Bradley Gross, who has been you know, touring the country with the ASCII Success Summit. He's been at other conferences, and he is a technology attorney. He's got a firm that basically they're known for helping MSPs create master service agreements and statements of work. And you remember that I fired a client at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I told you the story. I probably didn't. But we had a situation where one of our clients had an issue with their SQL database where they lost some transactions for a day. We had the backup for them that we did, but they didn't have any internal SQL backups done. So, of course, they lost all the transactional stuff during the day. And they were, of course, like, who are we going to sue for this lost data? Blah, blah, blah. And that's when I said, you know what? I am not dealing with that anymore. So I basically said, it's time for me to draft up some real agreements. I mean, I had, you know, one-page agreements that I would, you know, make them sign, but it wasn't, you know, really big legalese type stuff. So now I have those. And from now on, everybody will be signing something. Even if it's just the master agreement, which is going to have all of our stuff on there, you know, whether it has to do with just repairing systems, backup, data recovery, internet, all that stuff. So that's going to be a piece of work. I say all of this to tell you, remember the customer I told you that called up after a year when they didn't pay their monthly service agreement and they had the ransomware?
Yeah. Huh?
They called again. And the call started out with, Marvin, I want to come clean.
Oof.
And gave me the whole story of why they weren't paying and what was happening with their business and things weren't going well, yada, yada, yada. But what they wanted was to find a way to protect their systems and wanted to know if I could recommend them anything that they could go and buy. And of course, I said, no. Because the stuff that I use and I recommend is stuff that you can only get from techs like me who are going to put you on centralized managed protection. I know that there's good stuff out there. If you want to run down to the box store and ask them, they can probably provide you something, but I'm not going to stand behind that or recommend that. You'll have to do that yourself.
Yeah, because that's the problem, right? The recommendation, well, you recommended this, and right. It's not working, so it's your fault.
Yeah. So she kept pressing and pressing and pressing and wanted to, you know, figure out if there was something that I could do for them. And, you know, they'll get straight with all their stuff. So I said, okay, here's what I'll do. I will put together a plan. And the plan is going to be you pay your three outstanding invoices in full. And then you sign this agreement for 1 year where we will give you the very minimal protection where we put on antivirus protection, web protection. We put in, but we were going to renew their SonicWall subscriptions. And we were going to take care of their patching and updates and stuff. And I said, that's going to be the bare minimum for one server, five workstations. But you're going to commit to a year of doing that. And anything that we do for you, whether it's remote or on site, is going to be billable.
Prepaid?
No, I didn't want to get, you know, too messy with that. But I told him, I said, you know, the first thing you have to do is pay your three invoices in full, the outstanding ones, and then start with the 1 year deal. So
I would add to that, keep current on invoices.
Yes. So I
get behind on invoices.
So I drafted a 4-page agreement for them, spelling out all of this stuff. It has been one full week and I have not heard from them.
Is he putting in no brown M&Ms? make sure they read it all.
Yeah, because apparently it must have got real when they saw the fact that we're not playing this time around.
So the agreement that you have people sign, I mean, you don't do any residential.
Not if I can help it. The only residential I've done in the last, say, 10 years has been the owners of businesses or people that I've known for, you know, 15 plus years that we did them in the beginning.
But the owners of the business, you're going to charge a business.
Yes.
You don't charge the individual.
Correct.
Right.
Unless the owner hands me, you know, a nice little tip on the side. I don't report that.
So this agreement that you have, it's mainly crafted to business clients. It's not an individual who's coming to you wanting work.
Correct. Yeah, at this point going forward, we would take on no new residential customers.
Now, does Bradley, you know, Bradley Gross does stuff? I mean, because people might want to know if he does something, some kind of agreement for individuals or something. I'm guessing he does something like that.
You know, I did not ask him about that. You know, they do a ton of stuff, but they really have a niche for managed service providers. That's kind of the niche that he got into. But the practice, and I can't remember exactly how they got started, but I mean, he does everything from intellectual property, mergers and acquisitions. They do website analysis. I mean, he does a whole bunch of stuff, online advertising, FTC enforcement. So this isn't, you know, like the main part of his business. It's just the part that he markets to managed service providers and IT professionals. So I don't think that they deal with people that have residential customers as their main customer base.
Yeah, we've looked at getting something to have the business client sign, but I don't think it's ever been followed through with.
Well, I can tell you this. Yes, it's expensive, but it's worth it, I think. And in my case, especially working with as many attorneys as I do, it's about time that I got to the point where I made them sign the dotted line for stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, the first one that I gave it to, when I did the first one, the first client I gave it to was an attorney. And he had the agreement for probably 3 or 4 days before they called back. And guess what the one thing he wanted changed was in the whole agreement?
I can't even guess. Something I'm sure minute.
It was hilarious. He said, under the terms and termination, it says this agreement will be for an initial term of 12 months. And he said, we've been doing business with you for a long time. I don't really want to sign a 1-year deal. Why don't we just keep doing the month to month that we're doing? That was the only thing he wanted changed.
Did you change it?
I changed it.
I said, I can change it. We'll do 24 months. Yeah. I don't know. I would have said, yes, we've been doing business for quite some time. That should prove to you that I can do the job competently. So.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't told my attorney yet. I'll see if he slaps me on the wrist or not for doing that, but we shall see.
I've been thinking more and more about actually getting something to have the, because the one thing I do like about contracts is that you can do a term, like a year, or, you know, 2 years, whatever.
Right.
And that really helps to plan for manpower.
Yes.
So if I know I've got this much work, I can either hire somebody and train them. If you don't have guaranteed work and you need it, you might not be able to pay somebody. But if I got a contract, I know I can hire people. You know, you can buy tools, you can have people. And that's where I think I'm in the clients. The clients have realized, look, I'm going to give them some security so they can grow to help support me. Not just to lock them into a plan.
Absolutely. And the whole idea with, you know, one of the things that customers complain about, if you don't have a full staff, for instance, like you do, you have enough techs that I'm sure most of the time you can accommodate customers and have somebody available in short order. Me, I can't always say that. Even though I do have, you know, subcontractors available, I can't always guarantee that somebody's going to be here in my office. Well, one of the things that I'm looking at on one of the, a couple of the large law firms is getting them to commit to that and say, look, for the amount of money that you're paying, I can have somebody in the office all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't obviously commit to that if I don't have a commitment in the service. But, you know, if you want to have, you know, a predictable monthly bill, well, let's set up an agreement. We'll handle X for Y amount of dollars, and I or my tech will be available for you. And I can basically hire a tech to be in the office to respond to those calls.
Yeah.
So that's the way to do it. And by the way, I will, trying to think here. This is how weird it is. I've got so many shows in the queue that by the time this show airs, I will have already done my attorney interview and it will have been posted. So all I can say to you is stay tuned, because you will have the full interview with Bradley Gross on master service agreements coming soon.
There you go.
All right. So we, boy, did we take a left turn, Clyde?
I wonder how many people got that reference.
Well, depends on the age.
Because I will leave it at that. They want to say what it's from.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find an Amazon gift card. And the first person to email in with the, let's see, how hard do we want to make this?
I mean, this.
Here,
I mean,
no, I'm going to say, who
it's
can.
It's probably easy to Google, though. That's a problem.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We'll just let people in their head.
Yeah, okay. It's doing that. Because I was going to say, who can come up with the most descriptive definition of what that reference means? But you're right. Google is. I hate Google sometimes.
So I had a couple of hacking issues this week.
Oh, I think I had one too.
One was a client, mm-hmm. and one was not a client, but was affecting a client. So one client got their email hacked.
Yep, mine too.
They used this information to hack their domain registrar and start changing DNS records for their website. Now, luckily, they did not change the admin account, admin contacts yet. So we were able to get back in and put everything back.
Okay.
But I find that was interesting, that it's the client doesn't remember any specific email. Normally, you get an email and you say, click on this to either enlarge your storage for your mail, or
right.
you know, your office account's going to be deactivated unless you click here, those kind of things. He doesn't remember getting that, which doesn't mean he didn't. It just either doesn't remember or he doesn't want to say. So we told him, look, the options were either you got this email and you give up your credentials, or you had a weak password. You know, either way, those need to be fixed, right? Make a stronger password. Don't fall for phishing attempts. But I found it interesting that they were trying to change the DNS records for his website. Now, which leads into the other hacking client calls, saying they're trying to get to a website and they can't get to it on a couple of the computers. Some computers can access it, some cannot. They get redirected. So I connect the computer. I said, show me what's happening. They go to the website. It flashes something for a second, and then it redirects. And it redirects different places. Some redirect to the pop-up where you were talking to you, saying, oh, we detected a problem. You've got to call us number. You know, that thing.
Right.
Some redirects to, like, realtor.com. It's weird. Different sites that it redirects to. And they told me, this is with a story that they think they know better than me, They said, well, it must be this web browser. I said, no, it's not the web browser. I said, I just went to it on my computer on three different browsers, Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Edge. I'm getting redirected every time. I connected to another computer at a different office on a different internet provider. They're getting redirected. I couldn't ever get to the website. But they said that a few of their computers could still get to the website. I said, okay. So I said, it's nothing with your computer. So I went to the website on their computer. And before it got redirected, I got a screenshot of it. And it says, this domain name may be for sale. And that's basically what it said. And then it redirects you. I said, this site is compromised. Somebody hijacked their site and they're redirecting.
Wow.
And I'm wondering if that's what they were trying to do to my other client, hijack his site and redirect it. But this is what's happening to somebody else when they go to this website. And they told me, well, they said, what do we need to do? I said, well, you don't need to do anything. You can call them and let them know that their site is hijacked, but I'm sure they already know. I said, but there's nothing that we can do. Their site's hijacked. So they emailed back saying, we got it. We changed the browsers. And I replied back, okay, that may work because that's temporary. I said, maybe the DNS didn't update on that computer or whatever, but it's going, if I'm right, every browser and every computer is going to be redirecting soon. And I said, when it does, you just, all you need to do is call them and just make them aware of it. There's nothing that we can do. So I was, in order to speed up the process, right, to show them that this was going to happen, I cleared the DNS cache and all their computers remotely. And
all is well.
Yeah. After about 10 minutes, of email saying, oh, what do I need to tell them again? None of this. Oh, you were right. They didn't want to admit I was right.
Of course not.
They just said, oh, what do I tell them again? I said, well, read the previous email. Just tell them their site's getting redirected. They probably already know. This was 2 days ago, or maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. I just went to the site again. It's still being redirected.
Still?
Yes.
Wow.
And this is a site that they said they use every day for their business. I said, well, nothing you can do about it. Nothing we can do about it. They need to fix it on their side. But they thought they knew better. And I love when they email saying, we fixed it. Yeah. You think great. Actually, I think I put great, but if I'm right, you didn't fix it, and it's going to be redirected soon anyway.
Right.
And then I got a little chuckle in the email back saying, oh, what do I tell them again exactly? Oh.
So that is interesting. So the hack that I became aware of was a customer that at first I didn't think anything of it. But on just about every Office 365 account that we have set up, I have it set to send me notifications if there's any type of change in the account. If they add licenses, add a user, change a password, that sort of a thing. So I'm sitting and looking in my email and I get an alert, and this was back in May, and I get the email where it says a change to your subscription has been made. And I look and two licenses had been added. And my first thought is, okay, they didn't tell me that they were getting new people, because usually they would tell me, they'd just send me an email, hey, we need an email address for such and such, and I would take care of it. So I actually went in and looked at the account, and sure enough, two users were made and two email addresses set up, and they were Voice Massager and Voice Massager S at this user's domain.
Wow.
So I immediately called them to ask if they had done that, and they're like, no. Now, remember how the last time we talked about that little protection area where you could see that an email address within your own domain was being blocked.
Right.
So I had never used the audit log feature before, but I had to use it here. And have you ever used that feature?
No.
I'm going to guess no if you took that long to answer, because you would know. So I went into, again, you go into the Protection Center, and under Search and Investigation, there's an audit log search. And I went in, and you can tell who does anything inside of Office 365, even if they just log on to the portal, it has that log in there. So I went back and found where the user was added, and it tells you who actually set them up. Now, in this case, we weren't the only global administrator. Two of the users at the office were global administrators. This was an account that we inherited, so we didn't change anything. We left them on there. So the one person at the office, their account had been used to add these users. So I had to call her and say, did you go in and do this? She, of course, said no. And so I had to go in. We changed her password. And then a couple of hours later, they got added again. And for the life of me, we could not figure out why this was happening. She couldn't say anything. And I asked her, I'm like, are you sure? Have you let anybody on your computer recently? Have you, had another tech try to do something? No. Bottom line is, I ended up having to take her out of the global administrator group so that somebody couldn't use her credentials to go in and just add random users to the account. Now, fast forward a week later, her Outlook is now, well, let me first go back. She'd called to report that she had not received mail from 1:45 p.m. the day before. I log into the portal. I'm checking her history. No, you're getting mail. It's all there. We connect to her computer. Nothing in the inbox. I go back to the portal. Mail is there. So I'm having to do searches, and I'm like, okay, well, something must be up. We started.
Are you
checking.
Looking at the message trace, or are you looking on her like web access portal?
Well,
web portal.
Did eventually go to message trace,
okay.
And it was showing mail delivered. But what we had to find was there was a rule that somebody had set up that immediately, as soon as something came in, would move it to one of her subfolders that she would, never really went to. So all of her mail was there, but it was marked as read and moved to another folder.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So we had to go in and fix all that. Then, of course, her account is sending out spam. So we had to go through and find all that out. So as we're getting all this cleaned up, I'm talking to her and I'm like, okay, did I hear you talking the other day about such and such? And she goes, oh no, my identity was stolen a couple of years ago. And was it stolen with these credentials? And she's like, oh yeah, this email address, this. I'm like, oh, can you not tell me
the password?
Can you not tell me this stuff early on in our engagement? So we had a good fun 2 days of changing passwords on every site that she used. And basically I had to go in.
You change the passwords on sites?
Well, I made her change them, but we basically went through and every place I could identify an account that she used.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
And we went in and, I made her open up like, where do you use this email address? And of course she had a little Excel.
This was my mother.
She had an Excel spreadsheet with every account, the username and the password, not password protected itself.
She needs to get a password manager.
Yes. So we spent a couple of, I didn't spend every, minute of those 2 days with her, but I said, look, you've got to go through and change every one of these.
That's all I would have done. I would say, go through all your accounts, change passwords.
Yeah. And I will change, I will, put in a temporary password in the network. It's going to force you to change it so that I don't know it. We're going to do, And I literally went through and took them out of the portal.
You'd be the weakling, right? I mean, you don't want to know that.
Yeah. That was
so if you go into audit log search,
right?
It's not on by default. So I just logged into one and it says to use this feature, turn on auditing so we can start recording, blah, 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 blah. So you actually got to go turn it on.
Yes.
Is that a paid feature?
It's not paid. No, it's built in. And what's funny is I don't remember why I had to turn it on before, or maybe I turned it on that day and just happened to catch stuff later. But that's where I found it. So just so everybody knows, you actually, most of this you don't get to from within the regular admin portal. If you just go to portal.office.com, you actually go to protection.office.com. You still log in as the global administrator, and you get a whole bunch of additional features with, you know, data loss prevention, data governance, threat management, mail flow, search and investigation. I don't know how much of this is, you know, most of this is not on the regular.
Yeah, you got to log in with an Office 365 administrator account.
Correct.
So yeah, when you're logging in, I see an admin portal where I see security and compliance.
And if you click that, that takes you over to, that pushes you to the protection.office.com. Yeah.
But if you go to admin, if you go to the admin center, you can just go down to admin centers and then click on security Correct. And compliance right. down there as well.
Yeah, you have to go all the way down to do that.
But I just turned it on. Mm-hmm. And I have to check later on if it lets me do anything. Because it just gave me an error when I tried to turn it on, and now I can't search for anything. An error caused a change. Maybe it's gotta, this is Office 365, right? You create a group and you gotta wait 60 minutes for the show up. So maybe. Sorry, we're having trouble figuring out if activity is being recorded. Try refreshing the page. Yeah, thanks.
Probably because you're clicking too fast. Yeah, click happy end user.
I'll check it tomorrow. But yeah, apparently you got to turn it on. It's not on by default. Interesting, though. That's nice.
Yeah. So imagine that. So it was just, that was odd. It was just funny that you mentioned that. And that's what I had to deal with last week.
I wonder if it's turned on for that client that we got infected.
So.
But not right now. I don't know if I can. So do you deal with clients that have QuickBooks a lot?
I have a few, not a lot. I think maybe 3 or 4 now.
So I've run across twice in the maybe the last 2 weeks. QuickBooks does not like Outlook 2016. For the Office 360, the 365 version. It works fine with the like home and business, does not like the Office 365 version.
Because of the click to run feature. You're talking about if users are trying to send emails using their Outlook client.
The ones I've come across, what happened was one, Outlook kept prompting for a login information.
To authenticate, right.
We've got two exchange accounts. One worked fine, the other kept prompting.
Mm.
Problem ended up being the version of QuickBooks that he had, along with the, you know, Outlook 2016 from Office 365. The other person couldn't export reports, but the report writer wouldn't work because of Excel version of, so that was Excel, but the Excel version of Office 365. So there's a few different issues with Office 365 versions with QuickBooks.
Well, I remember, I know that if you're using QuickBooks 2016 or previous, that is a known issue. So are your customers, have they upgraded to either 2017 or 2018 of QuickBooks?
Yeah.
Which is what we did.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it still did not like, as far as the Excel issue, it still didn't like the Excel, export into Excel, the report writer. The other one, actually, the fix was to upgrade to QuickBooks.
Okay,
well, he didn't want to upgrade to QuickBooks because he didn't want to think that was a problem, but it was. Just seems that they really need to. This is what a lot of people are using now.
Yeah, but Microsoft is. They're in a frame of mind where they really don't care about the rest of the world. They're changing their stuff, and the rest of the world's got to come kicking and screaming.
Well, QuickBooks needs to get on the ball and get this stuff up. Because, I mean, this is some people who aren't happy. And
You would think Intuit, as big a company as they are, would. But there's
a 2 hours. 2 hours on the phone. Like. Okay, so this is a client who necessarily doesn't want to spend money either.
Okay.
So I told him this is a problem with this, and I let him go from there. And he called me back and told me he spent 2 hours on the phone with QuickBooks to get it resolved, and he wasn't very happy. But he didn't, it's his time, not mine, so he's happier because he wasn't spending money on it.
That was right. He said he wasn't paying you to tell them the same thing.
But yeah, I wasn't going to spend money with that. I mean, I'm not going to spend my time on that. I told him what the issue was, and he, again, this is one of the ones that didn't want to spend money. He said, okay, as long as I know what direction to look in, I'm fine. I did a system restore, and everything worked after that. I said, so what probably happened was QuickBooks must have done an update, or something did an update, and they doesn't get along. So figure out which update it was, and you're good to go. But you know, when you don't want to spend any money, that's what you get.
Yep. All right, my friend, so we are coming up against the appointed time that you wanted to be finished, so anything you want to get in and wrap up before we hit that marker?
No, if I start talking, I'll talk forever again. To be honest, my back is killing me.
Still with the back, eh?
Yeah, I thought it got better for a couple of days, and then I don't know what happened. It hurt again, and about to go on vacation, and my back still hurts.
Have you tried the remedy that Shaquille O'Neal is pimping on the TV?
What's he?
Some pain, lanacane or something.
Oh, the cream?
I don't know. There's a spray, and there's a little... like a heating pad wrap you can apply to your back.
I use a heating pad, ice. I've tried amaretto,
Salon Paws,
Crown Royal.
Crown Royal, that's a drink.
Right, because when you drink enough, it doesn't hurt. Crown Royal vanilla, that is. But it's kind of hard to do when I'm driving on vacation, so
yeah,
that might help, you know, at night, but it's not going to help on vacation.
Hmm. All right, my friend. Well, you need to go rest that back. I don't know. Is Salon Paws one of those pad thingies you can stick on? I don't know. We're not going to research that.
Some loud crash. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. They have something. I use the heating pad. The heating pad works. But okay. It's temporary. It works fine. And then the next morning I wake up and it's stiff again.
All right. Okay, well, if that's the case, I'll let you go. We'll end off the show here and let everybody know that we want to thank our sponsor, AppRiver, for... I'll edit out that pause, by the way. We want to thank AppRiver for sponsoring this week's show. I want to say thank you to Door to Door and all he does for us over at the Podnuts Network. Be sure to head over to podnuts.com and listen to all the great shows we have over there. While I look for some more stuff, Matt, you want to shout out a good night to all the Podnuts Nation listeners?
Yes, good night, everybody. I might be out for a little while with trips and other issues, so I will talk to y'all hopefully soon. Thanks for listening.
All right. We will catch you soon. For those of you that want to email goodwill wishes to Matt, you can send them to matt@podnuts.com. If you have suggestions for the show, questions, comments, or want to report anything, You can send them to marvin@podnuts.com. If you would like to address both of us, send them to podnutspro@podnuts.com. Be sure to follow us on the Twitter. And if you've noticed, I've been putting out some nice little notices informing you of upcoming shows, some nice little pictures from here to there. You can follow our Twitter handle @podnutspro. And of course, you can always find us over at podnuts.com to listen to some of the past shows. And on behalf of my good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey, and everyone here at Podnuts, we wish you all a good night. And until next time, holla.